It's time again for Health Talk on KFAR Radio. 30 minutes of healthy conversation about practical ways to improve your quality of life. Now, from the all-new White Spruce Medical, here's your host, Dr. Scott Looper.
Good afternoon, Fairbanks. Welcome to Health Talk. My name is Dr. Scott Looper. I'm your host today as we talk about health, how to get it, and how to keep it. Our guest today is Dr. Amy Seiberlich. Dr. Seiberlich practices with us at White Spruce Medical right here in Fairbanks. And today we're going to talk about constipation. Really? Dr. Seiberlich?
We are. And some of your listeners may have been hearing my commercial on the radio. It starts with, are you pooping every day? I haven't heard it yet, but it's getting a lot of attention. And so this show is going to help explain, what the heck is this crazy lady on the radio talking about?
Not so crazy.
Not
all right.
Crazy.
Welcome to the show. Okay, so Dr. Seiberlich, tell us about constipation. Why is it important? Why are we talking about it?
Well, yeah, it's a big deal. So like I said in this commercial, you're pooping every day. What my goal is to bring attention to the fact that constipation is a real medical condition, and it's important because it affects our quality of life. It affects our immune system. It affects our mood. If we're somebody who wants to lose weight, being constipated can keep us from losing weight. And constipated people aren't happy people. Like, it doesn't feel good in your body, and then it doesn't feel good in your mind when you're not having regular bowel movement. So that's why it's important. But I guess the first thing to address is, like, well, what is constipation?
Yeah, a lot of times I'll talk to people and I say, so do you have any tendency towards diarrhea or constipation? And they say no. Mm-hmm. Okay, I write no. Then I say, well, tell me how often you have a bowel movement. I don't know, once a week?
Once a week.
Yeah.
That's why I ask, are you pooping every day? At a minimum, we should be going at least once per day. Ideally, in an optimal system, we're like babies. You eat a meal in, you poop a meal out. That's what we're designed to do. But at a minimum, we should at least be going once a day. And we shouldn't be needing to strain. If you're straining more than 50% of the time, you're probably constipated. If your stools are like hard and lumpy, if you have to characterize them by like they look like moose nuggets or something like that, that's not normal for a human.
Yeah, I tell, I ask my patients, because you got moose poop or bear poop?
Yeah.
Only in Alaska can you ask that question. They look at you totally straight and say, no, I'm actually running like bears.
Yeah. I sometimes tell my patients, if you were going to draw a cartoon of like a piece of poop, that's really what we want them to look like. It should be like a log. If anyone remembers the cartoon South Park, there was like Mr. Hanky the Christmas Poo, and he's like this perfectly shaped piece of feces with a Christmas hat. But that's what our goal is. That's what it should look like. If it's in this, the topic of this conversation is constipation. So if it's lumpy or hard, that we don't want. And also, if it's runny and liquidy, we don't want that one either, but we'll talk about that on another show.
Okay. So, all right. So now we have a goal, mm-hmm. right? If we're pooping every day, having nice, well-formed stools.
Easy to pass.
Yeah, easy to pass. To what purpose? Why is this so important? Because a lot of my patients, I go once a week, and you know what? A good thing I do, because otherwise I'd go through a lot more toilet paper.
This is our digestive system. We've got a very long digestive tract. It goes from your mouth. It, like, spins around and, you know, through your abdomen, and it comes out in your rectum, right? In med school, we dissect dead bodies, ooh, and then you, like, stretch it out, and it's, like, 18 feet or something,
yeah, right?
And these 18 feet are important. They have roles. Every step of the way, they've got a role. And this is about nutrient assimilation, pulling the nutrients out of your food, putting the waste in, or keeping the waste in your food, or in your stool, concentrating
what's left
it.
Over, yeah.
Yeah, and then making sure you've got a good balance of fluid, right? We absorb a lot of water from our food, but we also need enough water in our colon to help push the waste out. So if we're not having regular bowel movements, or if they're like malformed and uncomfortable, this is a sign that our body's normal digestion, assimilation, and waste removal systems aren't working properly.
Yeah, you know, honestly, I asked the question like I was really looking for an answer. I really wasn't, because I know from just talking to thousands of people that people who don't have regular bowel movements don't feel well. Mm-hmm. They feel bad. They feel tired. They feel spacey. They feel cravings. Mm-hmm. They can't sleep well at night a lot of times. They get all kinds of organ dysfunction. Their hearts don't work well. Their lungs don't work well. There's a zillion things that don't work well because the fact of the matter is, let's just get down to it. The process of digestion is to keep the good stuff and get rid of the bad stuff. The bad stuff needs to be exited out of the body. If it stays in you a long time, this is not good news.
No.
This is not healthy. Does not make you feel good.
No, think about when you when you don't take the trash out on time, or you haven't gone to the transfer site in a long time and all the trash is piling up. If it's summertime, it smells bad.
Yeah,
there's
right.
flies. If it's wintertime, it's not really that big problem, but it looks bad, right? And it's kind of the same thing. Our bodies need to take the trash out at least daily.
All right. You said something that really caught my attention earlier about weight loss. Now, mm-hmm. you're not talking about the 2 pounds that you would lose if you would have a bowel movement. You're talking about actual weight that people have. Now, tell us about that. How does that work?
It's interesting. I'm trying to think of a mechanism. Sure, we carry a couple pounds of stool in our colon in every given time. But so even after you have a bowel movement, there's still stool higher up in your colon. So your net effect is pretty balanced. But it's just an observation, I guess. But when people aren't pooping regularly, they're not getting that waste out properly. Usually they're not absorbing nutrients properly. And they just usually struggle. They'll stick to their diet plan. They'll do some exercise, but if they're not also pooping, they just don't see the scale move the way that people who do the same things but are having a regular bowel movement see it move.
There's an interesting thing that happens when your digestive system works well, particularly your colon works well. You feel better, you function better, your energy's better, your mood's better. There's a zillion little things that happen. And a lot of it relates to what kind of organisms are living inside you. A lot of times what happens, and the experience I've had is when we test people and find out what's growing inside them, people who are constipated often, I'm trying to think of an exception to that. I can't think of one off the top of my head, have bad bugs.
Mm-hmm.
They have bad organisms. They have bad stuff growing inside them. They have something that's irritating their system. And either if you're irritated, either your body hunkers down and goes low and slow, or it flips the switch and boosh, everything comes out.
Right.
You eat, and a lot of times it's both. Mm-hmm. It's you go diarrhea, and then you'll flip the constipation, and then you'll flip back to diarrhea and back and forth. And there you go. And it turns out to be weeds. I mean, it's a good way to say it. If our digestive system is a garden, there's weeds in there. There's stuff growing that shouldn't be. And we know more now than we ever knew before because so much research has been going on in this one. They did the mouse research where they took the skinny mice and they put the bacteria in the fat mice, and they put the fat mice bacteria in the skinny mice, and they made the skinny mice fat and the fat mice skinny. And it turns out the food had nothing to do with it.
It had a little bit to do with it. But because when we have an optimal amounted ratio of the good bugs, they help us digest our food better. They actually help make things like vitamin K and some nutrients that are really important for us. They help with fiber, like breaking down the fiber. And fiber is actually food for these good bugs, right? So, you got bad bugs and a bad diet, you're going to have a really hard time in life. You're going to be sick. You're going to not feel well. You're going to be overweight, things like that. You got good bugs, bad diet, you can sometimes squeak by for a little while. Same with good diet, bad bugs. But then when you finally get good bugs and a good diet and things are working together the way that we were, designed to work, you feel really good.
Yeah.
You
things come
really
together.
Good.
Right.
Yeah.
So let's talk about treatment. What do you do if somebody's got a problem? They're not having regular bowel movements.
Well, we as naturopaths, we at White Spruce Medical, we're all about get to the root cause. So we got to figure out why somebody isn't pooping. And there are a lot of different reasons. I think probably in the next segment we'll talk about the foundational stuff. But as doctors, we're going to cover the foundational stuff. We're going to make sure, and we'll go into more detail, I think, you're getting enough fiber, you're drinking enough fluids, you're getting good exercise, things like that. And we want to make sure you don't also have something like a thyroid condition, or you've got these bad bugs, or there could be medications that you're taking that are causing motility issues. That's the squeezing of your gut to get things out of the system. So we make sure you're doing what we call the foundations of health, and we make sure there isn't some underlying pathology that's also contributing to the constipation.
For example,
a thyroid condition. There's lots of people who struggle with constipation, low energy, and weight issues. And when we take a really good look at what's going on in their system, their thyroid's under-functioning, right? So they're not making enough thyroid hormone.
Yeah.
It's as if the thermostat in their body has been turned down to 59, which keeps the pipes from freezing, but it doesn't do much else.
Yeah.
And so if we can figure out what's going on there, now we can help to restore that system, and then suddenly people are pooping better,
yeah,
among other things.
Okay, so but I'm curious about this, how to keep everything balanced and running well. And you mentioned fiber. I mean, fiber is one of the things to do. Let's just talk about fiber,
okay,
and then I'll just probe deeper
okay,
as we go. Tell us about fiber. Why is fiber important?
Fiber is super important because fiber does a couple things. There's soluble fiber and there's insoluble fiber. And I kind of think of it as like if you were going to build a roof, you'd have the sticks, and that would kind of form the foundation of the roof. And then you'd fill the sticks with mud, and you'd have this solid foundation. So the sticks are the insoluble fiber. They're there for structure. When it comes to pooping, they're there to provide bulk to your stool to help move the waste through the system. The soluble fiber provides nutrition. It binds up things that don't need to be there. As I said before, it feeds those good bacteria. So they have two different roles. When we're talking about having good bowel movements, well-formed, easy to pass, having enough fiber in your system helps make sure that stool has a shape to it. You give this excellent example about a toothpaste tube. Why don't you tell it?
Yeah, so the question is, what is it easier to get toothpaste out of, a full tube or an empty tube? Clearly, a full tube. An empty tube, you have to squeeze hard to get that last little bit of toothpaste out. A full tube, you give it a little teeny squeeze and boop, it comes out easy. Our digestive system is the same. It's the physics of it.
Mm-hmm.
If we fill that tube up, as our digestive system squeezes, stuff moves through easily. So both soluble fiber and insoluble fiber are important for this. Soluble fiber, as you mentioned before, bulks up your stool. Insoluble. Soluble fiber is basically goo.
Mm-hmm.
And the goo is the favorite thing for the bacteria, the healthy bacteria, to eat. They live on it. They break it down, and they break it down into stuff that our cells love. They're called short chain fatty acids. So there's this fabulous combination of things coming together in this symbiosis. Honestly, bottom line is you can't be healthy. You really can't be,
mm-hmm,
unless your guts are healthy. People don't realize,
yeah,
how important it is.
It's so incredible. The daily, or is it the RDA for fiber? Something like 35 grams a day. Many, many people are only getting about 10 or 15, and then they're using like over-the-counter fiber or fiber-enriched foods, not natural foods. So I should say fiber comes from plants. Animal food like meat has zero fiber in it. So to get the kind of fiber you need to make your guts work, you have to eat some plants. Could be veggies and fruit, could be whole grains, nuts and seeds. Like, these are all fiber-rich foods. But what I was going to say is it looks like, like our caveman ancestors, always interesting to think about what their diets were like. They were getting something like 90 or 100
yeah,
grams of fiber a day. And now we're struggling to get 10% of that.
Yeah.
And we've got this chronic, condition of constipation, which is also, we talked about all that other stuff, but then you've got things that go with that, like hemorrhoids and prolapse and like some nasty
diverticulosis,
which comes from itis.
Squeezing
too hard and
yeah,
having food poorly digested and like sitting in your gut for too long. So constipation is just a symptom that something, that there's more going on in your system that needs addressed, or
yeah,
it could get worse.
Yeah, I think about it like other symptoms. Like if you have a car and it starts to go knock, 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 knock,
mm-hmm,
knock, knock, this is not good. This is not a happy sound.
Yeah.
This just shows that there's something's not working right in your car. It's a symptom. And if you investigate it, you can usually find out what it is and fix it. Same thing. That's exactly what constipation is.
And I got to tell you, it's not a laxative deficiency.
Nah!
You are not constipated because of laxative deficiency. And yet laxatives are like a $1 billion industry. You can buy like gallon jugs of Maalox or is that the right word? I don't even know. Milk of magnesia, right?
Yeah.
You can buy gallon jugs at Costco. Please don't buy it. If you're buying a gallon of jug of Maalox or Mylanta or whatever, you need to come see one of us. That is a symptom of a bigger issue.
It's true. Yeah, you're putting tape on the check engine light of your car.
Exactly.
No, this is not the solution to the problem. Yeah, you need to get to the bottom of things. This is a great time for us to take a break. Let's do a break right now.
KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com. Here's your host, Dr. Scott Looper.
Don't give up. Good health is possible. We'll be back with more health talk.
1 in 4 people will have heartburn this week. 1 in 6 suffer from irritable bowel. Thousands more suffer from diseases caused by gut dysfunction and poor digestion. The good news is relief is here. I'm Dr. Scott Looper. My colleagues and I are experts in the effective treatment of gastrointestinal diseases. We are waiting to see you at White Spruce Medical. Call us to make an appointment. Located in the Steese Medical Center here in Fairbanks. Treating the core, living the cure. White Spruce Medical.
When you have an opinion.
In my opinion. Do you have a new opinion or do you have the same opinion you had before?
A question.
Let me start with question number one.
Here's my question.
Whether you agree.
My compliments to your guest on their accuracy of the statements they've made.
Or disagree.
Oh yeah, you guys think you know.
You guys don't have any idea what you're talking about.
This is your source for news.
This is rocket science and things do happen on this stuff.
And conversation.
It's real and it's fantastic.
From the supermarket to the stock market, follow the business news you can use daily on News Talk 660 KFAR.
Now, more health talk on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com. Here's your host, Dr. Scott Looper.
So welcome back to Health Talk. I'm your host, Dr. Scott Looper, and we're here today with Dr. Amy Seiberlich, and we're talking about constipation and the wreck and ruin that it causes.
Mm-hmm.
So we talked about a little bit about what it is, and we've talked a little bit about how to treat it. I'm still interested in kind of the connections with other diseases and kind of the problem. Let's flesh out like the consequences of constipation a little bit more. You have some more to say about that?
Well, we talked about weight a little bit, and we talked about thyroid as constipation is a symptom of thyroid, but mood is a really interesting one because our gut, our healthy gut bacteria, are responsible for production of serotonin. Like most of the body's serotonin supply is actually made in the gut and not in the brain. For those of you who are on an antidepressant, you're probably, your ears perked up. You're like, serotonin? Oh, I'm on an SSRI. That's a selective serotonin reuptake inhibitor. Basically, it keeps more serotonin in the system. And we definitely see a large connection between gut issues, constipation, but also diarrhea, any gut issues. We see a large connection between those and mood issues. And it makes a lot of sense. If your gut isn't optimally functioning and you're not making all that serotonin, it's going to have a negative effect on your mood.
Yeah, so you go to the doctor and you have a mood problem. Typically what they'll do is ask you some questions and then do a trial. Try one of the SSRIs and see what it does. And typically what it'll do is it'll actually perk your mood up, but it doesn't work for a long time. It'll work maybe a year or two or three if you're lucky. Past that, it doesn't seem to really do much. And if you actually, a lot of times what it'll do is it'll overlook this underlying problem, mm-hmm. the fact that you're actually not, your serotonin levels aren't enough. You're not actually getting enough serotonin or making enough serotonin. And so if you can fix the digestive system, you can actually get a real lasting solution to the problem as opposed to more of a temporary solution to the problem.
Yeah. So SSRIs are pretty interesting because anyone who's ever been on one knows that usually your dose goes up and it keeps going up to a certain point where, you're on a max dose, right? And you may or may not have the good results that you're needing. You might switch to something else. Your doctor will switch you. And this has to do with the fact that the SSRIs are acting on the receptor and not usually the serotonin itself. So if you're not getting to the root of the problem, that your system is not making enough serotonin, there's only so much you can do with the receptors to get enough in your system to actually feel good, right? It's like there's no fish in the pond. Like, we can change all the laws, we can, but if there's no fish, there's no fish, right? Yeah. And the question is, why aren't there any fish?
Yeah.
And that's the kinds of questions we like to answer.
Let's get the fish population to increase. Right. Really? And there's things that you can do.
There are.
Okay, so now there's some other stuff that I see in my practice. A lot of times I'll see people with inflammation. Mm-hmm. They'll ache. They have, sore hips or sore knees or sore hands or something like that. So inflammation is something that goes up. And a lot of times it's usually people just take an anti-inflammatory. Again, they don't necessarily search for what's causing it. And I'll tell you right now that the majority of cases turn out to be digestive system. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't just show up as arthritis. It can also show up as rashes. I've had people, especially leg rashes, they get rashes on their legs, these little lumps and bumps, and that is absolutely a constipation problem. There's a doctor name I could call, but basically it's a lump on your leg. I'm sorry, I'm also saying erythema nodosum is what it's called. Anyway, so there's also people with heart problems. Mm-hmm. So often I'll have folks coming in with irregular heartbeats or weird heartbeats or chest pain, and they're on cardiac medications, and they're constipated as heck. Once you get the digestive system flowing again, their need for those medications goes down. Sometimes it goes away altogether. Not always. Sometimes they have enough damage to their heart that they need to be on something still. But if you can catch it early enough, you can actually clear the case up. And so few doctors or even people go through the trouble of figuring that out.
Yeah. So a connection that we often make is something called leaky gut. This isn't often recognized in conventional medicine, but if you call it intestinal hyperpermeability, then they're like, oh, yeah, we understand that.
Yeah.
That just means, more leakies, right? But so I explain this to my patients because it comes up almost every day. Constipation, it can be a symptom of this. So can gas and bloating, even the rashes. And, when you've been doing this long enough, everything can be a symptom of leaky gut. But this is how it works. So there's damage in the gut, could be stress, could be medications, could be a poor diet. Lots of things cause stress in the gut, right? And the lining of the gut, these are called colonocytes. These are the cells that line our gut, and they have they create a protective membrane for us, a barrier. I watch a ton of Game of Thrones, right? And so I always think of them, they're like the archers, and they've got their shields up, and their shields are really close together and tight so that the arrows can't come through and get them. But with enough damage, now our soldiers are getting kind of knocked out. And, there's gaps between the shields, and now these arrows are getting through. When we're talking about the gut, they're getting through from the outside world to the inside world.
Yeah.
They're coming into our bloodstream.
It's not supposed to happen like that.
No. Our gut is very selective about what comes into the bloodstream. And in this case, we've got these arrows, and when what we're talking about is proteins.
Yeah.
Usually the proteins are digested into their very small constituent parts, and those little bitty pieces come through.
And that's fine, because our body's made up of those bitty pieces. They're called amino acids.
Right.
But if you got hunks and chunks, now admittedly these are microscopic, I know.
Right.
But still they're hunky and chunky.
That's right.
As far as our cells are concerned, they're hunks and chunks. And what happens is our immune system goes, wah, foreign material, and starts making antibodies. You start getting reactions to it. No wonder you're getting problems.
Yeah. Once it's in the bloodstream, it's fair game. It can literally travel anywhere. Skin, brain fog, heart arrhythmias, joint pain is a big one, acne, like you name it. Once it's in the bloodstream, fair game.
Yeah. Rheumatoid arthritis, all the autoimmune diseases. We talk about mood already, spaciness, brain fog, insomnia. I mean, the list goes on and on. Yeah. How many different ways that these can affect us?
And so the proteins, the arrows, the hunks and chunks that cause the most damage typically are ones that look like our own body. These are often, so dairy. Dairy is a huge one. Sometimes it's soy, sometimes it's corn or wheat. But dairy, for example, is pertinent to this conversation because dairy protein allergies, we're talking casein and whey, this is different from lactose intolerance with sugar. We know about lactose intolerance, gas, bloating, diarrhea, right?
Yeah.
But a dairy protein allergy, casein and whey, this often causes constipation. Yeah. Big time. Also, excess mucus, bloating, just lethargy, difficulty with weight loss. I see this all the time. And dairy proteins are so interesting because casein, for example, is actually part of a protein called casomorphin, which is a morphine opioid. There are opioid receptors for casomorphin, right?
No wonder cheese makes us happy.
Exactly. And why people have a hard time giving up cheese, even for an elimination diet.
Can't take away my cheese.
And there's like an opioid response. And this makes sense.
It's true.
Makes sense because, you know, if you're an infant breastfeeding, nursing, right? I want you to get milk drug. I want you to be physiologically dependent on nursing because it will save your life and it will make you strong. And you will survive, right? But we're the only animal who's still drinking lactation fluid past the age of weaning. And yeah. It's triggering that opioid response in a lot of people. And it makes it really hard to give up dairy.
Yeah.
Cheese is concentrated protein. And so we're getting a lot of that. And if you're if you have a leaky gut or if you have an intolerance to dairy proteins that's causing constipation, it could be this thing that you really enjoy is causing you a lot of discomfort and pain.
Yeah, I'm thinking of a patient right now who suffered all kinds of problems, and we pulled him off of dairy reluctantly. I mean, I'm always, you know, sometimes you just have to do what you have to do, and everything cleared up. Energy came together. He ended up losing about 30 pounds by avoiding it. And, you know, in the end, I asked him, I said, was it worth it to pull that out? He said, absolutely.
Right.
It really did. It gave me my life back because he wanted to be active. Mm-hmm. He wanted to, you know, have the energy to go out and do things and have a life. And before that, he was just a slug. He'd stay home and watch TV. He didn't have the energy to do anything. And we turned his life around, and he didn't have to take a pill. He didn't have to do some kind of wacky thing. We simply tested him enough. We found what the problem was, realized that it was a dairy problem, pulled him off dairy, and everything went the right direction. Yeah. It was a linchpin in his whole case.
Yeah, no, it's funny. I'm one of these people that's sensitive to dairy, and yet I still crave cream in my coffee. I don't do it very often, but I'll put a tablespoon in my coffee and then I won't poop for 2 days. And I'm like, all right, Amy, all right. Do you want to poop today?
True enough.
Yes or no? And I'm an adult. I get to choose. And some days I choose, some days I choose cream in my coffee. Most days I don't because I know better.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so we're getting close to the end of the show. Any final words on the subject?
Just in general, we talked about fiber, fluid, super important. We're talking half your body weight in ounces, more if you exercise, more if you drink coffee and alcohol and other diuretics, more if you're just like, oh my gosh, it's so dry around here. I just feel like I'm shriveling up. You need a lot of fluid to make this stuff go through your system properly. Fitness is another one. You don't have to be a bodybuilder, but by fitness, I just mean moving your body. Gravity helps with digestion. Breathing causes your diaphragm to go up and down, which squeezes your guts around and helps everything move through. So a short walk after a big meal has profound effects on your digestion, but also your blood sugar. So that's a good one. And then the last one I'll say is form. It's one of my favorite. Oh, we talked about this long tube and this hose that's all kinked up in your system. Well, it turns out the bottom, the very bottom, between the inside and the outside world has a kink in it, kind of like a garden hose. And that's normal. It helps keep stuff inside when we don't want to let it out. But if we can get a squatty potty, bring our knees up or our bum down when we're having a bowel movement, we can straighten that kink out, and it actually just makes the stool flow through our system a lot easier.
We're designed to squat.
We are designed to squat.
It's true. It's the way the pipes are arranged.
Our toilets aren't designed to squat anymore in this country, so bringing our knees up, our feet up with a stool or a squatty potty is a way to accommodate
that's the way
for
to
that.
Do it. Dr. Seiblich, thank you so much for being on the show. Thank you for the fabulous work you do. And if somebody wants to come see you, they just need to come to White Spruce Medical at the Steese Medical Center right here in Fairbanks, 452-3600.
That's right.
And just need to give us a call or come on in and make an appointment to come see us. Again, thank you, thank you, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Okay, so this has been Health Talk, and we are at the end of our show.
You've been listening to Health Talk on KFAR Radio, brought to you by White Spruce Medical in the Steese Medical Center. To listen back to this or any past programs, simply log on to KFARradio.com and go to the archives page for more Health Talk. Local stories, local programs, local news, local talk radio. We are KFAR.